Nintendo has decided that their investors were wrong and are pulling back on the mobile game market. Plus, Microsoft abruptly announced the shutdown of their streaming service, suddenly leaving content creators homeless. Tonight is June 28th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello. How are you doing? We've almost made it to halfway through 2020. Hello. And yes, welcome to a halfway edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Twitch, the Voice Geeks Network, welcome. Thank you for being here. We are here. We tape this show live each and every Sunday night over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel. You can be here or you can listen on the podcast. The audio podcast is free, just as it always has been. And if you can't be here live on Sunday nights, feel free to join our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord will get you into that server. And you can join us there. Or if you already have an account on our website, VogNetwork.com, you probably can't create a new account. So we've got to do something about that, you know, change up the site or something. And if you want to, you can also leave a comment on the episode pages over there. So I do want to mention that I'm glad that I'm here with you tonight. There was a chance that we wouldn't have been here because yesterday on Saturday down here, we have in the South, we always have these pop-up thunderstorms, right? So we have these pop-up thunderstorms and we were actually out at our neighborhood pool with like 10 other people. When pool usually has like 150 people in it or something, but we only had like 10 or so. We were in the pool and then it starts thundering. So we all get out of the pool and stuff and, you know, get under covering. And then the next thing we know, you know, a minute later, it's a monsoon. Umbrellas are flying everywhere. We actually lost like 6 umbrellas and they're like $600 a piece. And now we're like, oh, what are we going to do? And then so we finally made it home, and our internet was out because there was this big tree that had fallen just outside of our neighborhood as we were driving back to our house, and it took out the internet. It took out like the base station for Comcast, like where like the junction box is that services our neighborhood. And it's this big tree. Actually, the road was closed, and the cops were not letting people into our neighborhood a while, you know, for several hours, which was fun for those of us who live here. So we were not going to get the internet back. We were Comcast had said about Tuesday night we'd get our internet back, which kind of sucks because we all work from home right now, and there's nowhere to go. Like, I can't go to a Starbucks to work for 2 days, so I thought I was going to have to take vacation days. But we're back. But everybody's okay, as far as we know. Everything's okay. We went back to the pool today, and it was just fine and everything like that. So I'm glad to be here with you tonight because there are other things that I wanted to mention and stuff that I really didn't want to wait until after the holiday weekend here in America to talk about. So the first one I want to mention is about Dragon Con. And Dragon Con released an update this week that I think was very telling. It's not canceled. So just letting you know that it's not canceled yet. And it says, for our 2020 show, we are altering our membership policy to allow for rollovers to the 2021 event should you need to cancel your participation in this year's event. So essentially what they're doing is they're allowing people who already bought memberships, which is what they call tickets, You don't get a ticket to Dragon Con. You buy a membership to Dragon Con. So they're allowing you to roll over your membership to 2021. They're not giving you refunds. They are only offering rollovers. And you have to request it before July 24th. There are going to be additional flexible options available at that time. So they're going to make that decision in the next 2 weeks. Also, all the hotels are basically allowing people who've already booked the rooms in the host hotels to roll over their deposits to 2021 reservations. So you don't have to go if you don't want to, which is good. So people who want to stay home can stay home. The telling part of this, though, is the fact that they say that they are going to make a final go, no-go decision in the next 2 weeks. And so this was kind of getting ahead of that. And knowing what I've known recently, talking to people who work in events here in the state of Georgia, and seeing how things have progressed on the health front here in the state, which has not been as rosy as it has been, even though we've been open for over 2 months now, it finally got bad recently. In the past week or two. Knowing all that, I know that the government can't step in and stop something from happening until 2 months before it's supposed to happen. Which, Dragon Con begins on September 3rd this year, which means July 3rd is the earliest that force majeure can get invoked so Dragon Con can recoup some of the cost and stuff like that. Which is in the next 2 weeks, by the way. So what I'm actually thinking is happening is that Dragon Con's laying all the groundwork. They're working out all the details and everything. They have to continue to plan like they're going to have a convention in person on Labor Day weekend until the government can step in and say no. And there's actually a good chance now that that's going to happen. So I am going to guess, and this is my prediction, is that July 3rd, which is this coming Friday, we will get the announcement that it's been canceled. That is the earliest they're going to be able to announce cancellation. And so on the next show that we have on July 5th, I'll be talking about how it's canceled and it's going to be an online-only event, virtual event, and stuff like that. So they have also mentioned, because people are like, why aren't you canceling already? You don't care about people. And the official response was, canceling at this time is not in the best interest of our organization as a whole. Which basically means if they cancel now, they lose a lot of money. If they wait until July 3rd, they don't. So I fully expect it to be canceled. There's a lot of tracks that have already, programming tracks that have already decided they are not going to be showing up in person. They're going to be doing virtual stuff, even if Dragon Con is still held. We obviously haven't been seeing more guest announcements. The track directors are actually staying quiet. Even the ones I work closely with, they're like, not going to tell you because you're just going to repeat it on your podcast. And I'm like, yep. So I am in the dark, but I am going to guess that we aren't going to be doing anything on Labor Day weekend except staying home and wishing that we were on the carpet, the nice beautiful carpet, which I have. I was going to use this as a prop this year. For those in the podcast, I actually do have a little piece of the Marriott carpet, and I was going to use it as a prop for our Dragon Con prep episodes. And now we're probably not going to have any Dragon Con prep episodes, so I won't get to use this prop, so I'm just going to throw it over there. There are other things that are going away as well. And some are going away for longer than a year. They're going away for a long time. Forever. And one of them is VR, so now you can get your drinks out. And we're going to talk about the Oculus Go, because the Oculus Go is going to be retired, unfortunately. So Oculus posted a statement, announcement this week, saying that since we launched Oculus Go 2 years ago, VR technology has improved at an incredible pace. Oculus Go's success first proved that the all-in-one form factor can deliver highly immersive experiences. A year later, Oculus Quest redefined the category with full head and hand movement powered by the Insight tracking system. Quest enabled incredible VR games like Beat Saber, Dance Central, and The Climb with the freedom of an untethered experience, plus access to high-powered PC games like Asgard's Wrath and Stormland through Oculus Link. Just past the one-year anniversary of Quest, we're humbled by its continued success. The community response has been overwhelmingly positive, and you've told us loud and clear that 6 degrees of freedom feels like the future of VR. That's why we're going all in, and we won't be shipping any more 3 degrees of freedom VR products. We will end sales of Oculus Go headsets this year as we double down on our offerings for Quest and Rift. If you own an Oculus Go headset, you will still be able to use it after the sales of Oculus Go end. We will also be continue to maintain the system software with bug fixes and security patches through 2022. That said, we will not be shipping new features for Oculus Go moving forward, and we will no longer accept new Oculus Go apps or app updates into the store after December 4th, 2020, and we will stop adding new Go apps into the store after December 18th, 2020. So the Breakman says, Oculus don't pass Go. Hey, they had a great 2 years. The Oculus Go is especially great for like watching movies and stuff, but not as great for the games. Like, it did have some game content, but it couldn't do as much as what their other VR counterparts could do. And it couldn't do as much as the Quest did. So the Quest is a worthy step up. One thing that I don't really like about Oculus's platform that they don't do, that they should kind of go away from, is that if you buy a game on Oculus Go, you do not get it for the Oculus Quest. You have to buy it again for the Oculus Quest, even though it's the same game. And I think that's, now that they're starting to sunset certain things, they really should pull a Microsoft and allow you to just carry that over. You know, if you buy a game on the Oculus Go, you should be able to play it on the Oculus Quest. Some other games do that, some of them don't. Phoenix 7726 says, Oculus Go to the Goodwill. Breakman says, Oculus Go to the Island of Misfit Toys. Yes. Techolo says, Oculus Go is using Android. Yeah, so basically the Oculus Go was the Samsung Gear VR minus the phone, which the Gear VR has also been discontinued, by the way. So it was the Gear VR without the phone. The Gear VR, you would take your Samsung Galaxy phone, either an S8 or whatever, or a Note, and you'd stick it in the headset, and then you'd be able to do it there, and you'd be able to use it. The Oculus Go basically put the phone in the headset, so you didn't have to put your own in there. And then the Quest is a step up from that. So it got them into the market, the hands-free, no-wires market, and then they were able to extrapolate that success into the Quest. And so the Oculus Go is no longer going to be supported after December. So if you have one, enjoy it. And it'll still work. It just won't get any updates. Another thing that's not exactly going away, but it's not going to be as prominent, it's Nintendo deciding that all the investors that demanded after the failure of the Wii U that they wake up and join the gaming market that they really feel that you should be in. There's only one gaming market to people who have a lot of money and invested in companies, and that's mobile gaming. And Nintendo's finally realized, like, you know what? Maybe not for us. Bloomberg reports that Nintendo is retreating from the $77 billion mobile gaming arena after disappointing results deflated once lofty ambitions, ending a multi-year effort just as the market goes through an unprecedented COVID-era boom. President Shuntaro Furukawa proclaimed 2 years ago that smartphone games would be a $1 billion business with growth potential, building upon his predecessor's promise that Nintendo would release 2 to 3 mobile titles per year. That spurred hopes among investors that the gaming powerhouse could carve out a substantial slice of the market. In May, however, the president adopted a markedly different tone, saying, quote, "We are not necessarily looking to continue releasing many new applications for the mobile market," unquote. So Nintendo's shares then slid 4% after he said that. Close observers might have sensed that Nintendo was growing disillusioned with the mobile realm even earlier. Its smartphone games project was born out of necessity to shore up the bottom line amid the Wii U's failure. Now riding a surge in Switch popularity and investor confidence, the Kyoto-based company appears to have reassessed the mobile business and narrowed its focus to its own console ecosystem. So in the period from February through May, when other studios were posting record earnings alongside the lockdowns, Sensor Tower data showed marquee Nintendo titles like Super Mario Run plummeting by double digits. At the same time, Nintendo's own Animal Crossing New Horizons just became the quintessential haven from anxiety, powering the Switch console to new heights of popularity and pushing the company's share price to a 12-year high last week. The problem that Nintendo has is that they tried both the having people pay up front and then also a freemium model, and they don't want to do the whole gacha market because that gets addictive, and they're trying to be family friendly. So they tried to sell Super Mario Run as a whole, and people are like, you don't charge $10 for a mobile game. And then they tried to do a subscription service with Mario Kart Tour, and people are like, we're not going to pay for that. And then they tried microtransactions with the Animal Crossing, and, you know, I guess that went well, but not well enough. So Nintendo has said, you know what? We kind of know what we're doing, Wall Street. We're going to continue doing what we're doing, and we're not going to really play in the mobile game marketplace for much longer or with as much effort. They are still going to do smartphone games, they say. They say, quote, new smartphone games will come, but it's very likely these will be just alibi releases to appease shareholders, unquote. That's the thing, is that you make a mobile game not for people to play, but for shareholders to be happy. That's really why a large AAA game developer would make a game for mobile. It's to keep investors happy. It's not for you. Fitdream says, also, I'm iffy on what's strictly Nintendo and what's third party, like the Fire Emblem game, the Pokemon games that are on Switch, etc. And he also says, none of the Nintendo mobile games I played kept me entertained for very long. And Tigerlaw says, the problem with Nintendo doing mobile gaming was the microtransactions. But see, here's the thing. That's how mobile games make money, is by microtransactions. You can't, the mobile gaming marketplace doesn't like paying a flat fee for something, because $10 is way too much to pay for a game that's on your phone. They have been conditioned that you pay 99 cents, if you pay at all, you pay 99 cents, and that is the maximum amount you should pay for a mobile game. So they tried that. Super Mario Run was like a $10 one-time fee, and people were like, no. And then, they were like, well, no, don't charge microtransactions. And SJ Winter Matt says, Nintendo also doesn't do the obnoxious pop-up ads. Yeah, Nintendo really wasn't in your face about a lot of the microtransactions, at least in the games that I played. I did play Mario Kart Tour a couple times, but not recently. I played the Animal Crossing game for a while, and then stopped that. And then I played Super Mario Run just a little bit. I didn't buy it. I played the free levels, and I'm like, okay, that's fun. Questmaster says, there's also Dragalia Lost, which actually does okay, but it ranks somewhere in the hundreds, far away from the top 10 or even top 100 titles. I do hear about Dragalia Lost. The people who like it, like it. But it's... the mobile gaming marketplace really wants quick-hit puzzler-type games. You know, when I talk to my friends that play mobile games that aren't console gamers, they're playing Candy Crush. They're playing, you know, those type of puzzle games. Kind of like that new, like, what is it, the Pokemon Cafe, which is the Swirl puzzle game? It's those kind of games that people are playing on mobile. They're not playing Final Fantasy Tactics. They're not playing JRPGs like that. That's not what the masses are playing. There are a lot of hardcore gamers that will play those, but not really the masses. Nintendo's going to focus on their own console, much to the chagrin of people who think they should go third party because they think that Nintendo's struggling and hurting, and just because they have money doesn't mean they're winning. And yeah. Breakman says, I heart Final Fantasy Tactics. I do too. I do too. And Fifth Dream says, haha, Final Fantasy Tactics is one of the three real games I own on mobile. I love it too, but that's not what Joe Q Public is playing on their mobile device. They're playing Candy Crush or Words with Friends or something like that. Questmaster says, Nintendo can afford to step back, reassess, and come up with a new plan later. Or they could step back and say, you know what, investors, we know what we're doing. And we believe in our console business just like we have been for a while. SJ Wonder Matt says, I really wish they did an Advance Wars game on mobile, but alas. Yeah, I can see that. But I'm glad they didn't do an F-Zero game on mobile, because then they could say, haha, we made F-Zero. But it's a mobile game. We're not making it for consoles. Ha ha. What would have really been interesting, though, if Nintendo put Mother 3 on mobile. That would have gotten them some money. They could have put it and like charged a one-time fee for it, make it $20, and people would have played it. That's how they could have brought Mother 3 back. But they won't do that. I'm pretty sure they won't do that. All right. Let's talk about the big story that really rocked the world that I'm in, which is this streaming content creation, stuff like that. So Microsoft had an interesting week this week. Questbuster says this story was wild. Yeah, it's wild, and it's something that I did not see coming. But The Verge reports that Microsoft is closing Mixer on July 22nd and plans to move existing partners over to Facebook Gaming. The surprise announcement means Mixer partners and streamers will be transitioned to Facebook Gaming starting on June 22nd, which is when this was announced, and Microsoft will no longer operate Mixer as a service in months' time. Microsoft has struggled to reach the scale needed for Mixer to compete with Twitch, YouTube, and even Facebook Gaming, which led to today's decision. Quote, we started pretty far behind in terms of where Mixer's monthly active viewers were compared to some of the big players out there, end quote, according to Phil Spencer, Microsoft's head of gaming. He says, quote, I think the Mixer community is really going to benefit from the broad audience that Facebook has through their properties and the abilities to reach gamers in a very seamless way through the social platform Facebook has, unquote. Microsoft's partnering with Facebook to transition existing Mixer viewers and streamers over to Facebook Gaming in the coming weeks. On July 22nd, all Mixer sites and apps will automatically redirect to Facebook Gaming. Existing Mixer partners will be granted partner status with Facebook Gaming, and any streamers using the Mixer monetization program will be granted eligibility for Facebook's Level Up program. Mixer viewers with outstanding Ember balances, channel subscriptions, or Mixer Pro subscriptions will receive Xbox gift card credit. Microsoft's choice to partner with Facebook is clearly a strategic one that's also related to broadening the appeal of its upcoming xCloud gaming streaming service and its overall gaming efforts. Microsoft will work closely with Facebook to bring xCloud to Facebook Gaming, allowing viewers to click and immediately play games that people are streaming. It's a vision that's very similar to Google's ambitions with Stadia, but Mixer has lacked the scale and viewership to truly deliver this more broadly. Microsoft recruited exclusive streamers like Ninja and Shroud with big deals, but they haven't been able to get enough people using the service over their rivals. Ninja, Shroud, and other top streamers are now free to rejoin Twitch or stream on Facebook Gaming or anywhere else. Microsoft faced a decision between ditching Mixer, selling it off, or even investing more money in it without a guarantee that it would scale it needs to complete. Quote, it wasn't as much about return on sell, it was about finding a partnership that was the best things for the community and streamers. We think this is it, and we think it gives us a great place to launch more xCloud content and give gamers the ability to play from there, unquote. So, this came kind of out of nowhere. There was, I don't think this was related to a lot of the complaints that certain former employees had about a manager that was there. Although that is still an unresolved issue and something that needs to be resolved regarding racist remarks and other uncomfortable remarks made by a manager at Mixer to employees and about streamers, about the users of the service. So this, I don't think, was a part of that, because this was in the works before then, even though nobody at Mixer really knew about it. What is interesting is that apparently Ninja and Shroud were offered contracts to join Facebook Gaming, and they said, no, buy us out. And so they got a whole bunch of money, and now they're free agents again. But what initially happened when Ninja and Shroud were offered contracts, and a lot of other streamers, top streamers, were offered contracts, is Mixer was trying to break into the top three. Because unfortunately for Mixer, they were, I think, number four in streaming viewership. Twitch was number one. YouTube Gaming is number two. Facebook Gaming is number three. And Mixer is a distant fourth. And so they were trying to bring more people, more eyeballs. And so they signed Ninja and they signed Shroud. And what happened is a whole lot of streamers were like, hey, Ninja's going over to Mixer. If we jump over to Mixer, we're going to, you know, be able to hitch on that success. But viewers didn't go. Pretty much everyone on Mixer is a streamer of their own. There are dedicated viewers on Mixer, but there aren't that many of them. And when I say dedicated viewers, they're people that do not hit the go live button themselves. They are only there to watch. You do have a lot of people who are on Twitch who only are logged into Twitch to participate in chat and not necessarily go live themselves. So they were hoping that Ninja would bring the viewers, and what Ninja and Shroud brought were the streamers. And they got a whole new lot of content creators on the platform. But it didn't translate to viewers. So I think this is Microsoft trying to get out. Now, one thing to note is that Microsoft does own about 1% to 2% of Facebook. So that's why they're working with Facebook. They own, it's like worth about like $1 billion or something. But that's why they're working with Facebook, is because Microsoft actually owns a part of it. And so this is strategic for them because they actually own part of the company. Another thing that this really shows is that Microsoft really is not a consumer-focused company. And they haven't been for a while. Microsoft's strength is actually doing what we call B2B, business-to-business relations, or enterprise software, which is not Star Trek, but software and services that businesses use and not consumers, which is very telling because what they do is they take a lot of these consumer technologies they shut down and they repurpose them for the enterprise. And this article even says, Microsoft will now keep hold of the technology that powered Mixer and supported collaborative and low-latency streaming features. Microsoft Teams will start to use part of this Mixer technology in the future to improve real-time interactivity and low-latency streaming, and the Mixer developers involved will remain at Microsoft to help with the work on Teams. Saying, quote, applying these fan-centric capabilities to new productivity experiences will create immersive ways for teams to empower people, teams, and organizations to better leverage in virtual gatherings in work and in school, unquote. So this is one of the things they do a lot. Remember Kinect? I know you hated Kinect. You hated it. It was terrible. You feel that Microsoft never should have gotten into it. And then you're like, they killed it. Ha ha. See, the Kinect technology sucked. No, the Kinect technology lives on with businesses and enterprise structure. In hospitals, they use a Kinect so you don't actually have to touch something to navigate documents on a TV. That's what they use it for. The HoloLens, which is not a consumer device. It is the HoloLens 2. It's not for you. There are no games on the HoloLens 2. I know everybody's waiting for HoloLens gaming. You're not going to get it because it's for enterprise software. It's for like oil companies use the HoloLens. A whole bunch of like architects use the HoloLens. And the HoloLens is actually powered by Kinect. It actually has two Kinect cameras on the sides. That's how it looks around your room. It's a 3D video camera technology that they developed for gaming that they then use outside of gaming. And we see this a lot, that Microsoft shuts down a lot of their consumer-focused things, like the Zune. Remember Zune? So really, the only thing they have left consumer-focused is Xbox and Bing. That's it. And they're doubling down on, hey, we did all this stuff and it was great for gamers, and now we're going to bring it to the workplace. Because they've got to compete with, they're trying to compete with Slack and Zoom and Skype. Well, they're competing with Skype for Business by not acknowledging that they own Skype for Business. But they're trying to compete with Zoom and Hangouts, Google Hangouts, or whatever they're calling Google Hangouts now. So that's what they're trying to compete with, and they're not going to try to compete with Twitch anymore. Questbutter says, one of the earliest comments about the news on them buying Mixer, which was then called Beam.pro, was, I hope this doesn't turn into another Zune thing. It did. Pelihonemea says, Milo, we will never forget you. Milo, we did get Milo. It wasn't actually Milo as in the character Milo, but Connectimals the Xbox 360 game Connectimals, that was using the Milo tech. So we did actually get Milo. They just renamed it and made it, instead of being a human boy, it was just animals. As Sherwin Matt says, Google Meet, that's what they call it now. It used to be called Hangouts. As Sherwin Matt says, I saw a Lego builder do a model of a real car, like a Bugatti or something. To make a large-scale Lego version of it, they used a Kinect camera to scan images of the car. Yeah, and because he says artists use Kinect. So the Kinect camera is still widely used, just not by you. Phoenix7726 says, why does anyone use Google Meet when Discord exists? A lot of businesses use Google for everything. They use Google Apps, and so they trust, for whatever reason, they trust Google with all that stuff and the encryption and the security of Google, whereas Discord is not as much of a known quantity in the business sense. It's not as secure for sensitive business documents, so that's why they don't use that, whereas Google is more certified to have, you know, secure information, you know, that the government requires for certain industries and stuff. It's why Slack is still used by a lot of businesses, even though they could probably just fire up a Discord server and get chat rooms. That businesses have a much different set of requirements and much more stringent set of requirements than someone like us does. So what this has done for a lot of content streamers, and we were actually one of them, because we were not really approached by Mixer, but I actually knew here locally in Atlanta, we actually did have a Mixer employee who was a Mixer rep, and he lived here in Atlanta. So he was always at all the Georgia Game Developer events. So I had known him for a while. And we did actually look at doing VOG Network on Mixer. And I know that we didn't take it, but we were pretty much the only one. I would show up to events with the Georgia Game Developers Association and literally be the only person on Twitch there. I was the only Twitch streamer there. Everybody else was on Mixer because it was easier on Mixer to be a big fish in a small pond, where on Twitch you're a small fish in a big pond. And we did consider going to Mixer when we switched from internet radio to Twitch. And the reason we didn't, honestly, is because we knew we weren't going to be able to become a Mixer partner. We were not going to be able to pull in the numbers, and we still aren't pulling in the numbers to become a Mixer partner. And they didn't have anything that wasn't partner level, whereas Twitch had affiliate level, so we could actually, you know, take some of your money here, because people have been asking us for years, how can we give you money? And we're like, we don't want your money. And we still don't really want your money, but now we have a way of you giving us money by Twitch subscriptions and bits, and we greatly appreciate it, even though it's not required to enjoy our content. We love you just the same. So, Breakman says Bobby was getting side-eyed by everyone there. Yes. Yes, I was. But a lot of people and really staked on that and hit partner level. In fact, one person that I do know that I met through all that, she left Twitch to go to Mixer and literally hit partner status 2 weeks ago. And she had worked her butt off for like 6 to 9 months, I think. Or a year. I don't know exactly when she jumped over, but probably a year, actually. And she worked her butt off and finally got partner status 2 weeks ago. And now it's gone. And now she has to come back to Twitch and essentially start over. And that was devastating for her. I really feel for all of them, because now they're... I actually went to Mixer's homepage right after the announcement happened, because they all learned at the same time. And everybody on the front page were reacting, and very negatively. A lot of them are not going to go to Facebook Gaming because they don't trust Facebook. Facebook requires you to use your real name. Bobby Blackwolf is not my real name. That's why I don't associate my Facebook account with a lot of gaming services, because I don't want my real name exposed like that. And Facebook has a real name policy. And so to participate in Facebook Gaming, you can't hide behind an alias. You have to, everybody has to know what your name is. And all the viewers, you have to know what their name is. You don't hide behind an alias on Facebook. So, as Sherwin Matt says, I popped on Mixer shortly after the news broke and everyone stopped streaming. A lot of people were mad. Many people were crying and scared because they felt like they were just got fired from their job. Many streamers are in the same boat that Bobby is talking about. And Phoenix 7726 says, does Facebook Gaming have any shot? They're doing better than Mixer. Like, that's the thing. Even though we don't watch it, and like I don't know anybody here that watches it, it was actually, in terms of popularity, it was more popular than Mixer. So they're obviously doing something right. I really feel for them, and it's going to be real hard for them because they basically have to start from scratch. And a lot of them left Twitch, you know, middle finger in the air. And so that's why you don't burn your bridges, by the way. Because Twitch will welcome people back. And even some of the people that put their middle finger in the air, Twitch is welcoming back. So that's nice to see. But there were people that were like, I'm out. I'm off to greener pastures. I'm on Mixer. And now they don't want to go to Facebook. So they're coming back. And so if you did watch a Mixer streamer or you see a former Mixer streamer on Twitch, be nice to them. This is a shock to them. This is scary for them. Because this is not the time to be losing your job. And they were a partner on Mixer does not necessarily mean they can make partner at Twitch. So this came as a shock to even people that worked at Mixer, because there were people that worked at Mixer just a couple days earlier starting to plan out promotions for July and August and, you know, putting people on the front page and stuff like that. And they were blindsided too. DJ Ramaz says, between Mixer shutting down and the retail stores closing, except for the flagships, it's been a crappy week for Microsoft. Yeah, they're closing down all their retail experiences as well, which I never went in there to buy anything, but I did go to the local the Microsoft store for events. They would hold events at the Microsoft store, so that's when I'd go down. But I never went there to really buy anything, the one that we had here in Atlanta. So that's kind of crappy, and that's more job. I don't think they're losing jobs because they say all the salespeople that have worked at the Microsoft retail stores can now still work virtually. But you got to realize Microsoft is not really good at being a consumer-centric company. They don't do as well with consumer-facing products. They do great with products for businesses. Windows Server is great for a lot of people. Visual Studio Code is the coding environment even a lot of my Apple diehards use. We all swear by Visual Studio Code. That's not necessarily for consumers. That's for enterprises, for developers. You know, Microsoft Office is pretty much the de facto Office suite, even though there are alternatives. Pretty much everybody uses Word and Excel. So that's their strong suit, and not necessarily the stuff for the consumer world, because Microsoft is an engineering company. They can innovate, and a lot of times Microsoft is ahead of the curve on the innovation, and then somebody else comes by and makes it more consumer-friendly. The iPad, everybody remember when the Apple iPad came out, and Steve Jobs showed the iPad, and everybody's like, ooh, you know, this is amazing, this is game-changing. Bill Gates held up a Surface tablet 10 years earlier. It was pretty much the same thing as the iPad. But people didn't get it. So they had to abandon it at the time. And then, you know, it wasn't until Apple invented it that people took it seriously. And so Microsoft does innovate, and having Mixer in the streaming space helped push the other streaming services to do things. You know, like the low latency. Mixer really pushed having low latency at scale when Twitch turned off their low latency. And now Twitch has it back. One thing Mixer did really well was the multi-streams, where you could have multiple people streaming and showing on one page. Twitch never did get that working. Or at least if it's working, it's not available to affiliates. So that's going to be the downside, is that Microsoft does innovate a lot in the space. And they always have, because Xbox Live was an innovation. You know, online gaming over broadband, that was Microsoft doing it before everybody else did. Xbox 360 had downloadable content before the other consoles, and all the other consoles were playing catch up. So Microsoft innovates, but then gives up too quickly because they're an engineering company. They want to do the next innovation. SJ Ronamat asks, any words on the Electric Sisterhood crew? They just moved there 2 weeks ago. So Electric Sisterhood, they ended their gaming podcast, but then they started a new YouTube show, video show called Black Compat, and they were on Mixer because Rowe is an Xbox MVP, so that's why they were on Mixer. And I believe they have moved to Twitch. So twitch.tv/blackcompat, B-L-A-C-K-C-O-M-P-A-T. It is video game related, but it's also talking about the issues of race in America, as well as it also relates to video games. And so give them a follow and help welcome them over to Twitch. Phoenix7726 says, wait, Dreamcast had a broadband modem before Xbox, didn't it? You are correct. It did. Dreamcast really paved the way for online gaming for consoles. Dreamcast did it first, but they didn't have like a centralized network like Xbox Live. It was more you connect directly to a – it was more like PC online gaming. It actually shipped with a 56K modem, so it had dial-up, and they had SegaNet, but it wasn't to the extent of what Microsoft did with Xbox Live, because Sega is not an infrastructure company like Microsoft is. Microsoft's actually very well suited to creating a network like that, and they were able to innovate on that. So yes, Dreamcast absolutely had it first, and I love the Dreamcast, and I want to give them their due. But Xbox Live is really the catalyst that brought really good online gaming to consoles with the shared friends list and the voice chat and all that stuff. So Sega was very ahead of the time. Microsoft was only a little bit ahead of the time. And that's, I think, what happened here, is that Microsoft was just – some of the stuff they were doing with Mixer, we're going to see in the other streaming platforms in 5 or 10 years. It's going to seem innovative. And people are going to be like, didn't Mixer do that in 2019? So we're going to take a very quick music break and then talk about some other things with some other people. And we might be able to take a call. So if you are interested in calling in, go over to our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. Join the Green Room chat channel, and I can pull you into another channel right after this music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you. I wanna
be the very best. Yeah, there was a new the Pokemon DLC dropped, right? Or is that coming soon? The Pokemon Sword and Shield stuff? Yeah. So if you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be Pikachu, but if Pikachu wants to leave a bumper and just say Pika Pika over and over again, I totally accept it. But all you got to do is send me an MP3 or a video with just your voice, no background music, and just contact me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. So we actually do have somebody in the green room, so I'm going to go and see if I can actually get this to work again. It's been a while since I've taken a call, so I want to make sure that this will work. So we're going to pull somebody in on the air here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's going on, Bobby? It's Ronma.
Ronma, what's up, man?
Not too much. How are you, my fair weather friend?
I am doing wonderful. So what's going on in your world?
Couple of things. First off, I just want to say that I listened to your episode where you were talking about Black Lives Matter and so forth and everything you grew up with. That really meant a lot to me, what you were talking about. So I really appreciate what you were saying about what you were saying. Secondly, I'm just in regards to Microsoft, I worked at Flagship for about a year or so. And I can basically tell you the Microsoft stores were basically their answer to the Apple store, because they hired the people who designed the Apple store to create the Microsoft stores. They wanted to have it more like an experience store where you can go in, play these games, check out some latest technology and so forth, and also buy them. I have one-stop shopping for the most part. But like I said, they're only keeping 4 stores open. I believe New York, Redmond, Seattle, Sydney, Australia, and London. Those are the flagships that they're turning into experience centers, sort of like when you walk into Best Buy and you see like the little mini Samsung store or the mini Apple store, like that. And from my understanding, because I still have people that work there, when they closed the stores due to what's going on, they made everybody into remote workers. So basically everybody's working from home doing technical support and sales, and that's what they're still doing as they do this transition through.
Yeah.
So I mean, for the most part, nobody's really been fired. Mm-hmm. But as this transition happens, they're giving employees a chance to, you know, do you want to continue this route or what?
Right.
So it's kind of sad. I was kind of looking forward to going there to buy my Xbox Series X, but can't win them all.
Is the flagship store going to still be selling stuff, or is it just now like no more retail?
I'm inclined to say no more retail, but to be perfectly honest, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I still think they should just keep those four stores open for sales and support. I mean, look, you got the Nintendo New York specialty shop. I mean, they mm-hmm. sell stuff, so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I just recently found out that, you know, one of the floors in the Microsoft store was the Mixer Gaming Studio. And I found out that a couple of years back, it just became like a generic gaming studio, streaming studio. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's when S. Joe and Matt says there's an esports arena. I guess that was the same thing.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It was supposed to be. It was originally the Mixer Arena, but now it's just generic streaming and so forth.
Now it'll be the Facebook arena.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. I mean, my friends at Sora, you got paid to sit up there and stream on Mixer and other stuff. I thought that was kind of cool. So.
Yeah, no, Mixer did a lot of good things for a lot of people, but I guess just the viewers weren't there.
Yeah, and the fact that Microsoft has have some type of, I think they own like, they have like a 20% share in Facebook or something like that.
Oh, is it that high? Okay.
Something like that. So I'm not surprised this happened. So yeah. I am hoping that everybody who is leveled up in Mixer will get like the same thing going across the board. Because to be perfectly honest, it's only fair.
Yeah. And I think that's what they were saying, but it's just there's a lot of people that just don't want to be on Facebook.
And for the reasons you said, I totally get it. Yeah. And the basic solution is to create a fake account to game under, but then you'll get caught for that and you'll get kicked off the site. So.
Yeah. Yep. So, crappy situation. It was just really weird how it like came out that quickly and that sudden. Even do people at Mixer. Like, this was done by... Because apparently they were they knew they kept their partners, the actual Mixer partners, in the dark because they were starting mm-hmm. to plan promotional things for July and August with some people just a week before. And so mm-hmm. it kind of hit them with surprise as well.
I mean, same thing with the Microsoft store. One of my friends is a store manager. When I found out, I messaged him like, is it true? He responded with, I'm just hearing about this myself.
Yeah. Well, Mixer and Ninja and Shroud knew about the Mixer thing like a week earlier, but I think they were the only ones that they contacted beforehand.
Well, they caught their money, so
yep.
What does it matter to them? I don't mean to, you know. But.
Yeah. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about the smaller streamers like Tiger Lily is the person I've been talking about. She's here in Georgia. She literally mm-hmm. hit partner like June 5th.
Wow.
She got Mixer partner. So she's had 2 or 3 weeks as a Mixer partner, and now it's gone, and she's like, I got to start over on Twitch. I mean, at least she's affiliate on Twitch from her previous life, but she worked all the way up to partner and now kind of has to work all the way up again.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I was getting ready to start multi-streaming the Mixer, but I'm like, wait, we just hit affiliate status on Twitch, so I'm like, I'm not trying to screw things up, so, you know.
Yeah, Twitch does have the you can't multi-stream if you're an affiliate. And everything and all your video content has to be exclusive to Twitch for 24 hours. So they don't really enforce that, but essentially it's to stop people from like streaming on Twitch and immediately uploading the VOD to YouTube. You have to technically, according to the agreement, wait 24 hours before doing that, which is why I don't upload video up to YouTube of like when I do something from this show and upload a portion to YouTube, I wait 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of streamers on Twitch I follow also do the stream to YouTube, but it's like they'll wait about a minute or so, then fire up the YouTube stream. They're like, well, we're not going at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
That little sneakiness, so.
Hope they don't get caught. I won't tell.
Well, I don't think so either, but if they get caught and get kicked off, they have their own platform, and I guess I'll be subscribing on there too.
Yep. Anything else on your mind?
No, that's it, my brother.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
Sure. Take care now.
It was good to have a call. It's good to know that stuff still works. And I also learned that, yes, if the video is on, I can actually show video of certain people. I was able to figure that out as well. He did not have his video on. So if you have your video on, that kind of means you'd consent to having your video shown. So keep that in mind. But if your video is off on Discord when I pull you into the room, then I won't show your video. And DJ Romez says, I was kind of eating. That's totally fine, and that's why you didn't need to show your video. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network, though, is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And tonight is a I think it's kind of special for them. And so we like to check in with them and see what's going on. Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you, Bobby?
I am doing well. So this is just going to be a normal night, right? Like normal, nothing.
Well, for all intents and purposes, yeah. I mean, it's still the same old chat and things, and we'll be talking about. Sorry, my cord is tangled here. If I'm not looking right at you, sorry, podcasties. That part is all going to be normal. But otherwise, yes, we're celebrating 18 years of being on the air, which we passed this past week. And some of those bells and whistles I've been talking about for Twitch, it's not that big a deal, but just a little spice. We just put a dash of salt on the show that we've been talking about for like the past year. So some new things coming tonight, including a brand new intro.
I look forward to it. I'm probably targeting my anniversary next month to try to, you know, throw a little tiny bit of spice, but. We'll see. I probably won't be able to. I won't get around to it, and I'll just forget. Because I've been using literally the same intro song for 10 years. So
yeah, I think the MIDI head track we were using was honestly probably going on 14 or 15. And yeah. We're so thankful to him for donating that song, which was essentially like a cut B-side type of thing he had been working on for one of his albums. But he gave it to us, and we're very, very thankful. But, you know, after that amount of time, it was really time to freshen it up. And you might be very surprised at who did our new intro, and it's really good.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, no, because I used to write music. So like the if you're listening to my podcast, the intro and the outro song are actually the exact same song. And that's kind of how I've done it, but I wrote it in because the intro file, it's labeled like show intro 2010, which is how I know it's from 2010. And so all the audio clips are from 2010 and earlier, which is why most of the people that are in the intro don't listen to the show anymore. Some do, but several of them don't. And some of the references, they haven't listened in over 10 years.
I've made that mistake with our new intro, is that everything's labeled 2020. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. But like that, let me know, how old it is. Cause I still see that in when I look at it. But I used to write music for like in the 90s in the PC demo scene. So I was in that scene. I did a couple game soundtracks. So I still have like my old software, and so I can make chiptunes. So I need to like make a new song. It'll be the first new song I've written in several years. That basically it's one song that I kind of, the gimmick, if you've never noticed, which most people probably haven't, the gimmick is the intro fades out and the outro fades back in at the exact same point. So it's technically like that same like section has been vamping for the entire hour and just comes back in, and then the outro plays. And so it's kind of bookends on both sides. So I'll be doing that again at some point, and hopefully next month when I hit 15.
So well, happy early birthday to you.
But this is about you guys. 18.
Well, for you were talking about the intro and the outro kind of fudging it there a little bit, but I did make the call not to change our outro. The video part is different. It actually looks like credits rolling now instead of just a static screen. But I did make the editorial call not to change it because I think just too many people really like the Chrono Trigger stuff. So how could I take that out?
Yeah. So we almost went to Mixer.
We did. You know, and I think Mixer, I think the very obvious thing Mixer never did successfully that they really could have got a lot more people over was that, and you called it out as to part of the reason why, candidly, we didn't end up going over there. It's too hard to make money on Mixer. the metrics that they wanted you to meet were really, really high. And Twitch had a pretty reasonable affiliate level, which, you know, and it's not that, like, obviously, and I think everybody knows this, we've been very upfront about it. We're like, this isn't our jobs. We have day jobs, all of us. This is just a little bit, honestly, the amount it costs to operate an LLC and be legal in that sense is pretty much what all the donations are going towards. Yeah. And we really, really appreciate it. It's nice to not have to pay that out of pocket anymore, because for a long time we were paying that out of pocket. The reality is, again, it's just too hard to make money on Mixer. You had to hit too high of a ceiling. And if they could have figured that out a lot sooner, I think they would have more organically attracted talent. And they wouldn't have to have paid Ninja all this money. And I still think that was such a mistake to just try to buy one or two people to come over. Twitch is something a little bit bigger than just one or two personalities.
Yeah.
But I welcomed the competition.
Yes.
I think Mixer helped make Twitch better. And so it is a bummer to see them go. And Bobby, I know you're not very big on wanting to burn your bridges. I have no problem burning this one. This opinion reflects mine alone and nobody else's. I will quit broadcasting before I ever do a minute on Facebook gaming. Facebook has no right to be in the streaming space when they can't even manage what they have. So although I want to support all independent podcasters, and if you decide Facebook gaming is for you, I support you. I, you know, respect you as a fellow streamer. I won't be watching. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Participate at orangeradio.com if you want.
Sorry, that's just and again, my opinion, nobody else's.
Yeah. So yeah, so but that hit really, like, really suddenly. Like, we expected something to happen this week because of all the employee allegations, which still has not really been resolved. But we didn't expect them to be like, oh, we're just going to close up shop.
Probably won't be at this point. Although a lot of the, I mean, to just suddenly absorb into Facebook gaming, that ball was rolling some time ago. From a legal departments move slower than anything else on this planet. So trust that those things were in motion a long time ago.
Yeah. And then Nintendo's not going to make mobile games as much anymore. I'm not saying they're exiting, but they're like, we're not going to do it as much. And I guess it was kind of like the, hey, Wall Street, we know what we're doing.
Yeah. We'll talk about that as well on OLR tonight a little more.
So what else are you guys going to be doing on OLR?
We'll talk about the new Crash Bandicoot game that was not really a surprise because it ended up getting leaked a little bit, but we did get the announcement for that as well. We'll talk a little bit about the Smash Brothers Direct that happened this week. There's a new character coming, but there were some other little surprises as well. And there was also a surprise in the Pokemon universe. Not everyone's excited. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, and I'll talk about why coming up in just a few minutes.
I might be buying an amiibo again.
Nice.
I need the Joker amiibo.
You got to get that.
I got to get the Joker amiibo because I love the Persona series, and I never thought I was going to be getting another amiibo. So, all right. Orange Challenge Radio turns 18 and is coming up next. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. See you.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Right here on the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a bumper. All you got to do is email me an MP3 or a link to a video. You can email me or just go to our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. No music behind it. I'm going to put music behind it, edit some things in if it's a video because, you know, I've got graphics that need to go around it. So do that there. I do have a fan page on Facebook. I'm not burning the bridge with Facebook too much yet. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. I don't stream there. I just post sometimes, not even all that much. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf, twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf, which I have not been on recently. Or you can submit feedback over at vognetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters and the supporters here. So thank you to those of you who do financially support us. It is absolutely not required, and I do appreciate it. So during this show, Fifth Dream subscribed. He said 16 months. That's almost how long Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed. Really? Womp womp. It's going to be great, though. Nobody's going to care. that Cyberpunk 2077 was delayed again. Nobody's going to care. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to be talking about it for years, just like The Witcher 3. Podculture gifted a sub to Stirlock. So thank you for gifting the sub to our community. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Loki resubscribed for 16th month. And then Paleonomea has resubscribed for 17 months. He said he's been a listener to OLR since 2004. OMG, what have I done with my life? You have done awesome things with your life, and you have made good choices. So we're so glad that you are here and still here after all these years. I am going to shut up. I am going to play the outro music that's really a continuation of the intro song and tell you to wash your hands. And I'll see you guys next week. Do not blow yourself up if you're here in America celebrating birthday.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.